On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the door locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, the sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Thanks, Chilara. And lots of thank yous to make. So many that I won't say any because then I'll forget all the most important ones. No, I will have a crack. Thanks to our youth leaders. Can we make some noise for them? Then we had a cast of crew of thousands. So we had caterers and stuff for Old Benalba and then another catering team for Mount Tambourine. So thanks to our caterers. Thanks to Maggie Walters, who got me out of jail many times. She'd come up and say, "Stu, anything I can do for you?" And I'm like, "Well, Maggie, you can. Can you get everyone's birth dates and send them to Transport New South Wales so we can get $500 off the bus?" And we got it. Yeah, go Maggie. She did any sort of slides you did. She put those all together for us. Massive thanks to Mr. Paul Gatt, our design extraordinaire. So lots of thanks and thankfulness for the week of Safari. I say Safari is a little slice of heaven. It's sitting under God's word for 5 days. For me, if you're anything like me, I'm resistant to God's word and I feel like I'm a pot plant, you know? And in this dry summer, the way you get a dry pot plant to get water in it, you plunge it into water and you know what happens? All these bubbles start to come out and the water can finally penetrate. And I feel like that is me, that is my heart with God's word. I just resist and resist and resist. But after 5 days, I begin to crack. So it was so good to sit under God's word, to be with God's family, to see the diversity, all these people coming in and out and supporting Safari, and then to be in God's place, such wonderful locations, frosty Old Benalbo, then you end up on Coolangatta Beach in the sunshine. It was extraordinary. So, but let me pray. This is our final talk in Safari, so bear with us, and I'll make lots of references to youth, but I'm hoping that you guys will benefit from it as well. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Please help us to understand the awesomeness of the mission that you have for us, to tell the world how they can be forgiven and how they can know their Creator. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as a teenager, I was given a job to carry the Olympic torch through our city. But since none of the youth were actually born when that happened, I thought I should bring the Olympic torch in from Sydney 2000 so there's proof. It was a historical event. It did happen. But my job was to share the Olympic dream with our city and nation and world and to carry the light of the Olympics motto, which is to celebrate humanity. But this week on Safari, we've seen a greater light, as you saw in the key verse game, John 1:9, that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our world. And it brings a bigger dream than the Olympic dream, a greater reach than an Olympic crowd, because as followers of Jesus, we tell the world of Christ. So today on Safari Sunday, we come to the end of John's Gospel. And we see a new day dawns that dawns straight after Jesus' death. We hear the resurrected King speak about his mission. He tells us the message that we are to tell the world. So let's head to John 20 to hear from the resurrected Jesus. Well, straight up we are told it was the first day of the week. And from other parts of John, we know he likes to talk about the days of the week. I gave a sort of an encouragement to some of the youth. We had 10 copies of John in the Nude. So John in the Nude, 21 chapters in John, but we rubbed out all the chapters, all the verse references, all the titles, so they could see John in the Raw. What they needed to do, they needed to put some colour, you know, that's perhaps not appropriate for John to be in the Nude. So they coloured in, and you see all these repeated ideas and words and phrases. And something you discover as you read across the whole of John, he talks about time a lot. Days are important to him. And this first day of the week thing for John isn't kind of like Monday groan day, like the weekend is over, we all need some energy drinks, we need to grab some Milo bars, a strong coffee, because there's a heavy week ahead. What I think John is meaning by this first day of the week is it's like the freshness of a new day. You know, a day at old Bonalbo, frosty, but the sun is shining, like the first day of spring or the first day of a holiday. And the reason for this is John is excited because there's an anticipation about this King, Jesus, who was dead but is now alive. Jesus' mission we thought might be over, but it's just actually beginning. Because have a look in verse 20, when the resurrected Jesus, he shows his war wounds. And the war wounds of Jesus's aren't from a stacker on a BMX or a skateboard. Apparently they're dangerous things and you might break an arm. but actually from the cross, he shows them his hands and he shows them his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And is there any wonder why the disciples are pumped? From verse 19, we can see they were packing it. Because the last thing they thought is Jesus to burst through the doors. Who was going to burst through the doors in verse 19? The Jews. Some of the other accounts of Jesus' life shows them freaking out. In Luke's gospel, it says they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And you can understand why, because in John 19, verse 30, we heard Jesus say, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he died. So you need to think about the emoji progression that's going on here. So this is what the disciples look like. Okay? They are packing it. They are super frightened. And then when Jesus appears, they're like, "What the?" And then it goes to ecstatic joy. They're loving it. Jesus is alive. They thought it was a funeral. They locked the doors because they thought they might be next to get. But this, now the first day of the week, it's like a new birth. It's a new life, a new reality. And that seems to be what John is getting at in verse 22. Check it out. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And contrary to a friend who thinks that Jesus here needs to learn some personal space issues, "Jesus, did you breathe on me? That's gross." Jesus, what he's saying here, he's saying, you can become a new person. But before you get too excited that Jesus is some personal training Santa, you know, you can sort of serve up your wish list of, "This is what I want for the new me. Dear Jesus, for the new me, I wish you could make my mousy nose a bit bigger. Dear Jesus, for the new me, I would like to have smaller ears. And dear Jesus, can you please do something about these sloppy abs? It's become more keg-like, actually." What is this weird encounter? What is Jesus? He's breathing on them. What's he doing? What's he mean? Well, he breathes on them just like we read, like Sinead read from Genesis 2. It takes us back. Jesus, God, breathes life into humans. And here again, he breathes life into humanity. He's saying, "Believe in me and you will find a new spiritual you. You will find a new life, a new day, a new dawn." Around dawn on the first morning of Safari, we have our biggest turnout for our morning run at 6:30 a.m. Everyone's been up a bit later on Saturday night, but still on that Sunday morning, there's still a sort of a tangible energy, a buzz in the air. Then fast forward to the last morning of camp, Wednesday morning. Number is usually dropped to a big fat zero. Gone is the tangible energy in the air. And the only thing that can kind of, you can hear echoing across Mount Tambourine and down through the Gold Coast is Safari snorers. Though, shout out to Julian. Shout out to the year 11 and 12 girls who were there on the final run. And what they didn't know is I had a little surprise at the end of their destination. You can talk to them about that. But what is being promised by Jesus on this Sunday, he's not just going to sort of whip them into some sort of frenzy that ends up like a really lame New Year's resolution that makes it through to about January 3rd and then we just give up on it. It's not an excitement that's here today, gone tomorrow. Jesus is offering a new spiritual life that not even death could conquer. Jesus is offering us life, a new person, a fresh start. But what are we to do with this new life? Well, that's what Jesus moves on to tell his joy-filled followers on that first remarkable day of the week. Well, just as if Jesus experienced new life through the resurrection, so too the disciples experienced new life through him. And again, just as the Father, you look in John's Gospel, the Father sends the Son to bring life where there was death, and now the Son sends the disciples to bring life where there's death. Have a look in verse 21. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And the mission, the job description, well, it shouldn't be too out of the blue for the disciples. We didn't look at it, but in John 13 to 17, Jesus has a long pep talk with the disciples. And the core of it is this. Jesus has come. He's come. He does the work of the Father in the world. And on the cross, he says, it's done. It's finished. In chapter 19, Jesus has done the job, sent him to do it, and now the disciples take the baton. To explain this, I thought of a relay race. You know, each competitor gets the baton, passes it around four athletes until they make it to the end. But I was saying, actually, that's not quite right. Because this isn't what's going on in this mission that Jesus is sending us on. You know, he doesn't save us for the final leg because we're kind of the strongest athlete. Now, God has sent the strongest athlete. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will inherit eternal life. You see, Jesus ran the race we couldn't live or run. He died the death we couldn't die. And on the cross, he says, it is finished. And so the mission Jesus is giving us, the job he has for us, is to celebrate not us, we celebrate him. So I don't really know what is behind Usain Bolt's lightning bolt, or you can call it bolting, but I reckon we can use it. Okay, we know it's always done at the end of a race, and so too, we stand at the end of the race. Jesus has done the work for us, and so we can use the Usain Bolt, and we direct all praise and all glory to Jesus. We can shout out and tell the world about him. Well, on safari, we had some orderly groups, little teams of youth. Had youth from year 7 all the way to year 10, 12. We mixed everyone up. So there was a team called Taylor. Yeah, they did really, really well. Yeah, they were so enthusiastic. Named after Hudson Taylor, there was Carey. They did kind of okay as well, not so good. Named after William Carey, there was Stud.
If you mess with Stud, there will be blood.
There are some studs in the room. There you go. Named after Charles Stud, there was some Elliots. Oh, good on you, Hank. You brave leader, you, doing it for Team Elliot, named after Jim and Liz, the American missionaries to South America. There was Aylward. Yeah. Oh, Aylward, make some noise. Named after Gladys Aylward. There was Carmichael. Yeah. Named after Amy Carmichael. After we finish our time together, we'll show you a little thing that they did on safari. Jesus repeatedly says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am this, I am that. So the job for them was to do a dramatic rendition of their I am statement of Jesus. So we'll show you those over morning tea. But usually each day a orderly group was given a job that they were sent to with a mission. The mission was wash up. Mission was sweep. Mission was games, challenges, war cries. You never quite knew what your mission was. But here in verse 21, Jesus tells he has an ultimate mission for us. That just as he was sent to the world, he is sending us to the world with a mission. Now, we won't have to do what he did. He's done it. But he goes on to explain what is the message. And so we're going to look at that now as Chalara read it to us earlier. And so the ultimate mission that Jesus sends it on, here is the message. The message is forgiveness. Have a look in verse 23. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, Jesus was sent to do, he was sent on a mission, he had run the race, and it was to bring forgiveness to the world through his death. And so now we are messengers of that to the world. Just like Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, he says, be born again. And he says, experience spiritual birth, become a new creation. It sounds funny how Jesus frames it, isn't it? The way that he describes, listen to the last part of the sentence too in verse 23. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Sounds even more confusing. Sounds like we've somehow gained a power that we may join the Marvel team in the next Marvel adventure. You know, there's Captain America, there's Wasp, there's Iron Man, and now you just have to come up for a name for us. But here is our superpower. We can forgive. Not forgive. You know, imagine you'd be able to walk into a room. You know, you get invited to a friend's party from school. You're not really that into them. But you can go, you know, these forgiven, not forgiven. Particularly for the friend that you don't like too much. And maybe when you do it, like when you kind of do your superpower, like, boom, forgiven, they just start dancing. You know, or you go, boom, not, oh, thank you, yeah. Then you bang, not forgiven, and they just kind of freeze in some awkward sort of pose. But maybe my imagination is just running a little bit too wild. But what we mustn't imagine is that we somehow control people's destinies. For who controls someone's destiny? Who makes the call in if someone is forgiven or not forgiven? Well, it's Jesus. What is our message for the mission? We speak of him. We tell the world about him. He is the one who controls the response, not us. He is the one who decides who is forgiven, not us. You know, the preacher David Cookie says, you never know. You never know. You don't know what happens when someone falls off the horse and it's all over. You never know. That's Jesus' call. But our message, we know the message. As Dan taught us from John 19, the reason Jesus died was to take the sin of the world, and now forgiveness rides on what are you going to do with Jesus. You know, if you go to sporting clubs, schools, all through society, people will tell you there are many ways to God. But in John's gospel, we see that's not the case. You know, people just say, oh, you just need to do this. Just need to do that. But John says, no, Jesus has done it. He has done what we couldn't do. And so this is our mission. This is our message. And it's Jesus. You see, Safari 2019 has all been about, tell the world! So we've yelled it. We've yelled it in the bush. We've yelled it in the beach. We've even yelled it from the treetops. Because John reminds us, Jesus isn't just some guy telling you how to live a good life. He's not some wise guy. He's not someone you take or leave. He isn't someone from a world of fantasy. John says Jesus is God. John says Jesus is how to be satisfied. John says Jesus is how we know truth. John says Jesus is how we know love. John says Jesus is how we beat death. And John 20 says Jesus is how you have new life. John 20 says, Jesus has sent us. And John 20 says, Jesus is our message. So how are you going to do it? How are you going to get on with the job? How are you going to be a sent one? How are you going to tell the world? Well, the first thing you need to do is to believe. You see, if you don't believe that Jesus is the doorway into life, you're not going to tell anyone. Now, if you're not sure about who Jesus is, you know, they say with Safari, they go, here are the three things you got, birthday, Christmas and Safari, but often Safari leads the race, okay? And then Christmas and birthday, they can fight it out, what is the best thing. You know, you've liked Safari, but what are you going to do with Jesus? If you don't believe him, then talk to your youth leader or talk to your friend. Or talk to your parent. Or talk to someone in your gospel community. Second thing, if you do believe, remember it's not about you. It's not you that we're resting on. You don't have to run some religious race. You don't have to prove yourself to God. You don't have to prove yourself to others. If you keep finding yourself talking about you, then stop. Remember, it's not about you or what you do. It's about what he has done. Jesus said, "It is finished." So talk about him. Finally, not only do you need to tell the world about Jesus, I think we need to tell ourselves. We need to tell each other in our DNAs about him. Tell each other satisfaction is found in him. Tell each other truth is found in him when we let lies in. Tell yourself, no matter what, Jesus can beat death. When it's someone's birthday, I try to tell them something about, I know about them, and I try to restate, what do I know of Christ? How can Christ be in your life? We need to tell each other about what is on offer in Christ. Well, yesterday it was 50 years since man first landed on the moon. And around 51 years ago, the news about Jesus first landed with the Yali people of Papua New Guinea. It was delivered by two men, an American Phil Masters and Australian Stan Dale. But unlike the moon landing, the world was not watching as these two men trekked into rugged terrain in the mountains of New Guinea. They were taking the news about life on offer to Jesus, on offer through Jesus to this feared tribe, the Yali. The message about Christ would never be spoken, as Phil and Stan were both killed by massive arrows that were fired at them, and the news about Jesus was stopped in their tracks. But that's not the end of the story. Around a month ago, 51 years since Phil and Stan died, a group of Papua New Guineans were visiting a church in Brisbane. The pastor was chatting with them and surprised they mentioned an Australian man, Stan Dale, had brought the news about Jesus to them. And they were out here in Oz taking the news about Jesus to Aboriginal communities in Australia. What an incredible story. The gospel goes out from Australia to Papua New Guinea 50 years ago, and the gospel is coming back to Australia. In John 20, Jesus says, these things happened on the first day of the week. It was a Sunday. The first day of the week for many of us is a Monday, and school goes back on Tuesday, pupil free day tomorrow. So when you're desperate for an energy drink, you've got a Mother or a V, or you're trying to grab an LCM or a Milo bar or something like that, or a strong coffee on Tuesday morning, remind yourself of what has been promised to you. That by his grace, God can recreate you by his Spirit so that you might tell the world about what is on offer through Jesus Christ. And even when you fail to tell the world about him, I got a haircut on Friday, and the barber, he came here to Lismore High, he's about 22, and we often have quite a good chat, and he kind of goes, what's going on? And anyway, I was going, oh, should I invite him on Sunday? I had a business card in my pocket, and I wussed out. So the cool thing is that even when we wuss out in telling the world, we tell ourselves and we go, this isn't the end for me. Jesus offers me forgiveness. And because of Jesus, even though when I wuss out, sometimes I tell it, sometimes I don't, I know that because his Spirit is alive in me and I am his child, I can know that because of the news about Jesus that we tell the world. So let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, we want to thank you that on the first day of the week, you're at work recreating life. First in your Son and then in us. And we're sorry for the ways that we fail to tell out the news, that we find it hard to believe you are the true God, that we can think we need to tell others about what we do. So please help us to tell others about Jesus, tell others about what he has done, to tell others how they can find forgiveness, and to tell each other and to tell ourselves that true and full life is found in Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.